Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. This is our second season of HCS Talks, our Hampton City Schools podcast. Our goal is to educate, inform, and entertain not just our local community, but also listeners far and wide. Each episode spotlights different topics, from education and student success to the hard work of our teachers, support staff, parents, and community partners. We will also shine a spotlight on different programs, initiatives, and more, offering valuable insights for everyone. To our loyal listeners, thank you for your support. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We hope you will stick around and keep listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Ms. Sharon Radford, who is the School Division's Coordinator of Restorative Practices out of the Office of Student Support. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Radford. Let's start by having you share a little about yourself with the listening audience.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Haynes. This is truly a pleasure and honor. So, again, Sharon Radford. I'm actually from Paterson, New Jersey, born and reared there. Attended John F. Kennedy High School. Some of you might know a Lean on Me movie, Eastside. I don't wear those colors because that's our rival. So I always wear red and black. But again, from Paterson, New Jersey, got my bachelor's from Wagner College, Staten Island, New York. And then I was at, by way of Norfolk State, behold the green and gold.
Oh, yes.
I have my master's in social work. I've been serving the community from Franklin all the way back this way to Hampton for over 10 years now.
So you are from Paterson, New Jersey.
With one T.
John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy High School.
Yes.
Paterson with one T. And it was the rival school of Eastside High where that famous movie,
yes,
Lean
sir.
On Me, was,
yes, sir.
I guess, featured about. So that's actually, Ms. Radford, I don't know if you know that, but that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh.
Morgan Freeman is one of my favorite actors. So a lot of what transpired in that movie, was it actual reality from your perspective?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's during the time when my mom was going to school. So after watching the video, she definitely said those things were transpiring at that time. So,
did you have similar experiences at JFK?
Yes, I did, unfortunately. but I will say attending public school has definitely have my tough skin, helps
right.
me have tough skin. So I'm not ashamed of that.
Help you build character and wisdom based on your life experiences as well. So you said from there you went to Wagner College in New York?
Yes, Staten Island.
So is that what took you to Staten Island, the college you chose, or were there other reasons that you left New Jersey and went to New York?
So, actually, I spent my first 2 years of college at University of Delaware. Go Blue Hens.
Yes.
where I was a Division I athlete, basketball background, and I started there.
Why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? I had to pull that out of you. So, University of Delaware, Blue Hens, you played ball.
Yes, sir.
Were you any good?
I was. Still am. Still am. It jumps back into my skin when I put the shoes on.
So you were a standout at JFK as well?
Yes, sir. Two-time player of the year. Retired number. Over 1,400 points, 1,100 rebounds.
What?
Yes, sir.
Just snuck that in on me. University of Delaware Blue Hens, one of my good friends and mentee. He's one of my mentees, but he and I have been friends for so long, I consider him to be a mentor for me as well. Dominic Banks, he used to work for Hampton City Schools, but
okay.
He went to the University of Delaware football scholarship.
And yeah, so you there with Joe Flacco? Was
yes,
there?
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
it's a big
yes,
deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Blue Hen. So you
yes.
were there for 2 years, and then
yes.
what happened?
You know, some things transpired that I did not agree with. So with that, I transferred to Wagner College, where I finished my career. But I had a career-ended injury where I tore my ACL and cracked a bone in my knee. So that ended my basketball career. But honestly, it projected me right into the career of helping others. So I used that story in that time to really reflect on where I came from, you know, and how I made it out. And I wanted to be able to help other kids become more than their environment.
Resilience and perseverance play a key in all of that. So you finished your basketball career at Wagner.
Yes.
And then you obtained your bachelor's degree in what?
In sociology with the focus of family studies.
And then did Norfolk State bring you to Virginia or?
No. So I met my wonderful husband at Wagner College. He's actually from here. He was born and reared here as well. He is a product of Newport News, but he's also in education. So he called me at work one day, asked me if I wanted to marry him, and I said, sure. And that's how, and that's how I'm here. So, but I believe my soul been here because, you know, during the time the University of Delaware was in the CAA. Okay. So we played all the schools here.
Yes, yes. So,
it was meant to be.
And you can't go wrong. You know, I am also a graduate of Norfolk State University.
Yes, sir.
MSW program. Behold the green and gold. So after Norfolk State, what happened?
After Norfolk State, I had to learn how to live a normal adult life. coming from being an athlete. So, again, I've always been passionate about helping people, and particularly students. I actually used to work as a CNA as well, and I enjoyed helping the elderly. But I ended up getting back into education by working by way of the CSB. Mm-hmm. I worked there for a few years, and it landed me inside of schools, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the work that I was doing. So I've also worked with TDT as well.
So you worked with the Community Services Board in Hampton, yes. Newport. News.
Yes, sir.
And that is what got you into Hampton Schools. And
yes.
And then that passion just continued to grow and blossom.
Well, that didn't get me into Hampton City Schools. It actually got me into Newport News Schools.
You want to keep saying Newport News. I love sorry. Newport News. I love Dr.
I have to tell you the story. I have to tell you the story, Dr. Haynes. So that's where it started. I was in Franklin for a couple of years with another agency.
All right.
Then I came back this way. And got the CSB job after finishing my master's degree. And I was in Newport News schools for a couple of years. And then actually got a text message during COVID. I lost my job with CSB and got a text message saying, hey, I think you'll be interested in this restorative counseling position. And I read the description and I was like, absolutely. So I applied and here I am.
Right. I know you were at Benjamin Sims Middle School. And
yes.
They thought the world and continue to think the world of you, and they were unselfish in recognizing you can make an even bigger impact in the division in the role that you're currently in. But they certainly know what you bring to the table and still provide quite a bit of services and make an impact still over there as well.
Yes, sir.
So, Ms. Radford, can you tell us what exactly are restorative practices and how do they differ from traditional disciplinary approaches in schools?
So restorative practices is an approach that helps people strengthen relationships, build communities, and prevent conflict. So when things go wrong, typically, you know, a student make a bad decision, they will get a consequence, usually right. ISS or OSS. Whereas restorative practices, we look at what went wrong in that restorative community, and we look to repair the harm that was done and then be able to collaborate to make things right. So it also teaches our students how to self-regulate, also teach them how to be able to sit down and have a mediation, and then also get to the function of things. What triggered you? Sometimes they're not just our students, but it's also our teachers. So it gives us an opportunity to repair the harm that was done and then be able to coexist.
Makes a lot of sense. And then it also helps because the goal is to correct the behavior.
Yes.
And recognize what you did wrong, and hopefully you won't make the same mistake again.
Yes, sir.
So how are restorative practices implemented across a K-12 setting, and what does it look like on a daily basis?
So how it's implemented is we actually have professional development for our teachers, and so when that can be in a large group setting, or it can be by content or grade level. Just depends on what the need is. I actually provide that alongside of Heather Peterson, who does our climate and culture. So we actually have that tailored to elementary, middle, and then high school. Now, elementary school, a lot of our teachers and as well as our counselors are trained in the restorative counseling to be able to start to teach the students the language, right? Sticking to the lines in the pathway of a Hampton graduate
right.
and those signature experiences. Restorative counseling is, restorative practice, excuse me, is a part of that signature experience as well. So we're teaching our teachers how to be able to implement it on a daily basis. And that starts with how we greet our students every day, and then how we're teaching them to correct their behaviors, how to self-govern, how to self-regulate, and it truly empowers our students. Now, when you get to the middle school and high school level, there is a restorative counselor in each of those schools. So that is that added support. Now, the difference is when a student is in elementary, they don't receive ISS, right? So, but when middle school and high school, there is the consequence of ISS. But now we think of as ISS and restorative counseling as co-parenting. The consequence in the disciplinary is the ISS, but our actual restorative counselor is that parent that has the calm and the cool, right, about them, and they can sit down and process with their students.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think it positively and significantly impacts the climate and culture in the school.
Absolutely.
As well, making certain there's total buy-in too. And I'm glad you mentioned the Portrait of a Hampton Graduate. That's our North Star. Everything is anchored around that.
Yes,
and
sir.
How that climate and culture and positive sense of self and purpose plays a key role in forming and shaping a young person to be college, career, and life ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what kinds of training and support do staff receive to effectively carry out restorative practices?
So, they can request to have me come in and I can do one-on-ones. I've been doing some one-on-one consultations where teachers can come in and have the conversation if it's a particular student, a group of students, and saying, hey, how do I get to them? How do I build a relationship so that we can go forth? So that's a part of implementing restorative practices. And then there's the opportunity for me to even come in, as well as Heather Peterson, to be able to have a collective restorative conversation as well as conference. I actually go into the schools daily, weekly, just to be on the ground, to be able to observe and then also model what that actually looks like. I've sat in classrooms and observed and provided feedback to those teachers who've asked for it. I don't like to impede on people, so I always try to, because this is new.
Right.
This is new for a lot of folks, so I want to make sure that they understand, hey, I'm here to support, and it's not one more thing added, and like to encourage them in doing so.
It's new, but it really isn't. It's sort of like a mindset
yes,
shift in terms of what we're doing, because we always want to focus on providing a safe and nurturing environment and promote a healthy climate and culture as well. So it's just a way, additional resource and tool that an educator could have and having a positive climate and culture within their school buildings as well. You know, they could use this in terms of the morning circles as well. I don't know if you've been involved in a lot of that first thing in the morning when young people come in.
Yes, sir.
A lot, especially at the middle school level, they take that time to have what they call morning circles and just have discussions about making good choices and things that may be going on in their lives. Have you played any part in that?
Yes, sir. So I differentiate on the circles. Mm-hmm. I know when we, and in terms of new, the word restorative for a lot of folks is new, and they think it's,
right,
you know, well, what is this? Are we taking away disciplinary?
Right.
We're not.
Yeah.
So with the restorative circles, it actually is more comfortable for elementary school students to circle up.
Yes.
So I speak to the elementary school teachers about using that to their advantage. And it also teaches kids how to build confidence and being able to speak and advocate for themselves. And then it builds community. Now, when you get to middle and high school, it's a little different.
Yes.
due to the fact that we have different concerns. So I always explain that a circle isn't going to always work in middle and high, due to the fact that anxiety is high. I'm self-conscious about this, and we're still learning to helping them learn to build. So I talk about having restorative conversation. So restorative conversation could just look like you in the front of the classroom and moving about. I would do this even when I had students in restorative option, and I would just move about the classroom, and we can have the conversation about whatever the SEL lesson is for the day, but everyone is still engaged, and we bring everyone in on a conversation. Circling up is a bit much, dudes, especially in middle high, because that you can't keep their attention due to the fact that they're concerned about everything else. So I mentioned restorative conversation, but in the form of just being in their desk. Like,
right.
Let's leave it at that.
Makes sense. And differentiating according to what you are faced with, a challenge with, whether it's elementary, middle, or high, makes a whole lot of sense. So, and you sort of spoke about this. Is there anything you want to expand on? How do you involve students and even families in restorative practices?
Students are very much so involved in the restorative practice. Whereas before, student would commit make a bad decision, we would just have the conversation, here's your consequence, and send them off. Whereas now they're a part of that, acknowledging, okay, hey, what did I do wrong? Who did the decision I make, who did it harm? Not just myself, but those that are around me. And how do I go forth to make it right? How do I become reintegrated back into that environment? How do I become comfortable in that environment? It is all about the student involvement. And then you get families. The family involvement is collaboration. You know, I still believe in the saying, it takes a village. So because of that, I need to make sure that I'm making that contact with that family and finding out what are some things. And then if you get to the function of those behaviors, because all behaviors is a form of communication.
Yes.
You reach out to that family and you find out if anything's changed at home. We have a lot of military families around here. Things change. So being able and staying in communication with those families to find out what's changed at the house can help you better assist a student in the building.
That's quite impressive. So you are impressive on and off the court, Ms. Radford.
I appreciate it.
Coupled with you and Ms. Peterson together, that makes a formidable team.
Thank you.
What are some of the biggest successes you have seen since introducing restorative practices in the division?
Oh, I've seen some great successes. Funny. funny ones, but great ones in reference to our students, just how the students I've worked with when I first got the position coming off COVID, that group of students was challenging due to the fact they were coming from being at home and had to relearn how to be in the school building and adjusting to still the social distancing and relearning how to socially interact, right? So I knew that was a challenge from the beginning, but I also understood that the way I approached those students daily and encouraged them, I saw the difference in their response. So I can think of a couple of students when I first met them, anything could trigger them and it would be all out, go off in a full show. I can intervene, have a conversation with that student, and then teach them the right way to go about expressing themselves. And they also understood that I was a safe space. So instead of them going off, now that student has the opportunity to yell, I just want to speak to Ms. Radford. And then remove themselves, come to me, have that moment, and then it keeps from interrupting the entire learning environment. So I've seen great success in that, seeing a reduction in suspension for our students, as well as the amount of students that will return to ISS. Has reduced.
Reducing that recidivism. So speaks to what I was going to ask, and you may want to expand on it, but I know one of the goals is always to make certain we model what it means to have a safe and nurturing school environment, and young people play a vital role in that, but also staff in understanding
yes.
the restorative practices. Are there any additional measurable outcomes? I know you mentioned reduced suspensions and improved student behavior that highlight the impact of these practices.
Doing mediation between teachers and students. I've seen when I first introduced doing mediation between teachers and students, it was a little skepticism because it's like, well, why are we meeting? But after being able to explain what the outcome could be from this, I've seen the participation go from maybe two or three teachers to now teachers would ask, hey, I would like to meet with this student to find out what's going on.
Wow.
And I can honestly say after meeting with that teacher and student discussing what was happening, and I always encourage the student and the teacher before leaving the conversation, tell that person what is it that you do enjoy about them. And I can honestly say that student can return to that classroom and not have any more issues with that teacher.
Wow. That's quite impressive, just even to hear that story and how that has been working.
Yes.
Because teachers opening up and saying, hey, this is an opportunity to improve my relationship with this young person.
Yes.
And we know that's key to everything. And you sort of went into skepticism as well. How do you address skepticism from those who might not immediately see the value of restorative practices?
I chuckled to skepticism due to the fact that the former athlete rise up in me, the competitive and challenging spirit about me rise up because I like to get to the function of it. What is it about you or what is it about what we're doing restorative as a collective that you feel skeptical? Getting to the function of it, okay? I think everyone has a valuable point and opinion, so I like to be able to talk to that person and find out what it is and then also address it and then also be able to speak to it and say, hey, the function of this could have come from this And I can honestly say, because of my background in counseling, it makes it a little easier because I can really break it down and get to the real root of the challenge that the person is having
in that massive social work program, they teach us that whole systems approach to addressing things all together. So it is coming out in this conversation that you are a person who came from Norfolk State University with that MSW and how impactful your work has been. I did want to ask, I know you're doing this work in restorative practices and working with Heather Peterson and Dr. Ganey as well, but how are you all working to ensure the sustainability of it all? I'm always cognizant of the fact that it should not be about one or two persons. And looking at how we're able to sustain measures and things we have in place in schools beyond your having to be there, Ms. Peterson having to be there, or Dr. Ganey. Are you all working more collaboratively with teachers and school counselors? And how does that look?
Yes, sir. It's all about collaboration in order to do this work, right? Because it's about the 80-20 rule, 80% proactive, 20% reactive. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we're always staying 10 steps ahead. So we collaborate. We have climate and culture teachers or team that's in our school buildings, as well as working closely with admin. And the wonderful thing about middle and high schools, they have their restorative counselor that is in the building who can continue the work. I meet with restorative counselors monthly to make sure that they are up to date with information, and because they're on the ground often. So we want to make sure that they have the information that they need and the tools they need so that they can continue with the work, so that we don't always have to be there. There's, you know, only a few of us in many schools. Right. So we want to make sure everyone still is getting that. So it's about the collaboration and making sure everyone is have the information necessary and the tools to be able to implement.
And I think another critical piece you mentioned is the administrators as well. Them being equipped and empowered with restorative practices and having those conversations, not just with young people, but also the staff. And making certain it sustains itself far beyond anyone having to be there, any one person having to be there on a regular basis, if that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
Can you share a memorable story where restorative practices made a significant difference for a student or group of students?
Yes. So one student in particular, most recently, last school year, we had a student transfer in at Sims when I was restorative counselor. And this young man, I'm 6'1", and with heels, I'm thinking about 6'3 and a half. So this young man, eighth grade, he was about 6'2", he's a tall guy, but he comes off and his stature is presented as he's an older kid. He's only in eighth grade. He will come in every morning. I'm positioned in the front of the building to greet students as they walk through the doors. And I greet all of our students, have silly ways of doing things. And this particular young man, you know, he comes in a little more, you know, a little hard shell, but I still would greet him every morning. How you doing? I see him throughout the day. And a few months into school, he was absent for a couple of days, and I noticed it. So when he came back, he comes through the doors, and I yell for his name, and I said, "Good morning." And I said, "Come here for a second." And he comes, and he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "How are you?" I was like, "I missed you." And he looked at me like, "What? No, you don't." And he says, "No, you don't." I said, "Yeah, I do. I do miss you. I said, I haven't seen you in a couple of days. Are you okay? Like, is everything okay? Are you feeling okay?" He's like, "Yeah, no, I wasn't feeling well, Dada." I said, "Okay, that's fine." I said, "But I'm just glad to see you. I really do miss you." And the way he looked at me after I said it again, it was like, oh, like this person cares, you know?
And I was like, I wasn't here.
Right. So I said, "Can I have a hug?" And, you know, he gave me a side hug. And from that day forward, every morning he would come over to me, give me a hug. And I said, "Good to see you. I'm so glad you're here today." Right. And I would see him throughout the day. And throughout the day, he would come see me, see how I'm doing. So to see him go from this hard shell to returning to a kid again, to me, it's always a great success, because one of the things I want students to understand when they come in the building with us, that the weight of the world is outside of our doors. But when you come in our building, you are allowed to be a child and a student, and you have no concerns of anyone else but you. And we're happy to see you every day.
That is a great story, Ms. Radford. And he also knew from that point he had at least one adult person that cared about him, and he knew he could go to if it's something he needed to share or discuss with as well. So what advice would you give to other school divisions considering adopting restorative practices?
I would honestly say do it. Adopt it. I think it's a great approach. It's a great practice. And the wonderful thing is I believe in teamwork makes the dream work. And when you have everyone on board doing it, it changes not only the lives of our students, but you see the difference even in our teachers, understanding that this is another way for each and everyone to have a sense of belonging. I think sometimes we focus on just our kids having a sense of belonging. The teachers want to have a sense of belonging as well. So when you have restorative communities and we're really focused on repairing the harm and honestly getting to a consensus of wanting to do things right, it's a beautiful thing. And you can definitely, Hampton City Schools, we're on our way to being distinguished in everything else. So,
yes,
you know,
yes,
we distinguish in restorative practices as well. So I believe if you want to do it and do it right, contact Dr. Haynes.
And I will direct you to the folks who are really doing
That's
the work,
it.
Like Ms. Radford,
That's
Ms. Peterson. Dr. Gainey and others, quite a few others, and we want to make this a part of our culture in our schools.
Yes.
And, you know, if you look at the superintendent's priorities as well as school board members, the number one priority is providing a safe and nurturing environment.
Yes,
so
sir.
It speaks volumes to the restorative practices that we have in place and that we will continue to support and hopefully grow.
Yes, sir.
So if you could have or if you could leave listeners with one key takeaway about restorative practices, what would it be?
I would say restorative practices empowers our students. It builds capacity not only for our students, but also for our teachers.
Wow.
Build your capacity, and I can guarantee you we can get through anything. Also with a level of grace. With a level of grace. So.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed talking with you, Ms. Radford. Thank
yes.
you for being with us today and for sharing such valuable information about restorative practices. I hope our listeners have gained some insight from this conversation. I know that I have, and I've learned some things today about you I did not know. And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. As one community, one transformation, we will ensure academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. Until next time.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.